Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper! Hey, Murray. Gasper! All right. Final hour, Gasper Murray this afternoon here on 98.5 of Sports Hub. Chris Gasper off today. Myself, Ryan Robb of Mass Live, will continue to take your Celtics calls and continue to rightfully bash the Seas after they blow it at home yet again, sub-500 record in the postseason, which is just something that should not happen. But they lose to the Miami Heat last night, down 0-2. So if you want to continue to talk about that, divvy up your blame pie. Maybe you're most mad at Grant Williams for poking the bear of Jimmy Butler. Mad at Coach Joe Mazzulla, whatever. We'll continue to take your calls on the Seas at 617-779-0985. And because this is just a me thing, maybe this isn't me being professional. It's a me thing, but I find the Celtics so increasingly unlikable. I refer to them as, to use the term that Logan Roy, before the Succession writers killed him off, oh, spoiler alert, you should be paying attention. He tells those idiot kids of his, you're just deeply unserious people. That's how I look at the Celtics right now. They're just a deeply unserious team. So I need to take a respite from them right now. I know there's a lot of talk about with that game, but they're a lot for me right now. I find them exhausting, unserious and exhausting. So a couple of Patriots-related things I wanted to touch on. Starting with the releasing of Yodny Cajuste on Thursday. I mentioned this yesterday on Felger and Maz. With him gone, the circle of suck is complete. In other words, the last of the Patriots players from their 2019 draft, gone. They're all gone. Into the, like a fart in the wind, gone. I think you need to revisit that draft fully so you get the full meat of how terrible it was. And it starts with N'Keal Harry. And I've said now for years, when you look at the wide receivers drafted in 2019, you had to really work hard to screw up finding a wide receiver in 2019. But Bill Belichick and the Patriots managed to do just that. N'Keal Harry in the first round in 2019. Second round, Juwan Williams, who was pretty much just a special teamer at best. You take Chase Winovich in the third round. You had three third-rounders in 2019. Chase Winovich, undersized from the get-go. Very one-dimensional player. His spot he used to do on Zolak and Bertrand was always entertaining. Kind of a free, open-minded dude. Had some wacky thoughts. Like, it was always a good interview, but I think too big of a mouth for Bill Belichick, and so now he's on his, I think, third team now? Is he on the Houston Texans roster? So he didn't work out. Damian Harris, I'll kind of give you Damian Harris. He was okay. Hamstring issues, but overall, just another running back. Then you have Yodny Cajuste, again, who was just cut, useless. Halte Froholt, useless with a name nobody can really pronounce. Jared Stidham, you take in the fourth round, who might be a good backup, maybe. I mean, he flashed a bit for Vegas last year, but it's not like we ever got to really see him here because Bill Belichick was never going to give him a chance in that hell year of 2020. Anytime late in the season when it was clear Cam Newton threw the ball like a full can of paint, Why don't we go to Jared Stidham? Cam's a quarterback. Fifth round, Byron Cowart. Who? Fifth round, Jake Bailey. Well, was a Pro Bowler. Wasn't bad. Was actually a weapon for this team when they were truly sucking in 2020. So wasn't bad. And then he was bad. And then he made Bill mad. So he cut his ass. And now he's on the Dolphins. And in the seventh round, another nobody in Ken Webster. And I like to break balls about Mac Jones because I think he's middling at best. And I like to break balls about Belichick being exposed post-Brady. But what I find interesting about, you know, Kajus being cut, and it's not about him, it's about this draft specifically in 2019. This is why the Patriots are in the spot that they're in. This is why you look at the Patriots and say, like, maybe they'll make the playoffs? I don't know. It's a draft like this. We're not talking about 8 years ago. It's a draft where you should have got two players, at least, that are... They don't need to be all pros. They need to be guys. Like, guys you got. Good depth guys, at the very least. Whew. All gone like a fart in the wind. 2019, just a handful of years ago, you needed a hit on at least a couple of guys. You're never going to hit on a whole draft. Like, that's just not going to happen. But considering the wide receivers in that draft, you got N'Keal Harry and nothing out of it? Brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal. So I just think that's what's interesting to me about that, in that the reason the Patriots are a middler at best in 2023, this draft is a major, major reason. You can even go back to the two prior if you'd like to, but it's 2019 because we're not that far removed from that. I mentioned Mac Jones, who, if you peruse the old interwebs and Twitter and social media, Mac Jones, one of many in attendance at Taylor Swift at Gillette Stadium last night, bedazzled jacket. Looking very Zoe-like. I'm not gonna get on him for that. You like what you like. In fact, if I had free tickets and I was on the floor like Mac Jones last night, I would have went to Taylor Swift with the nice weather. Those of you going today in the downpours, pouring rain, good luck. But prior to Mac Jones, and I'm sure other Patriots and Patriots alumni like Zoe being in attendance last night, the Pats themselves put out on their Twitter account the following. Just a couple of Swifties ready for hashtag Foxborough. The Eras Tour. Mac Jones is part of this, and I like to read into things, find the subliminal or hidden messages, and I think that's what Mac Jones was delivering here. In fact, it starts with other players that, I'll be honest, I think one of them might be Kendrick Bourne. It's my bad. I mean, there's been a lot of upheaval with this team, and not a lot of star power, so at least Mac Jones to me is recognizable. But anyway, hit this B-Rub.
My favorite Taylor Swift song is Endgame featuring Future.
Probably Endgame with Future.
The Last Great American Dynasty, and then Karma, of course, Karma. Favorite album, Reputation, for what it stands for.
The only one I know.
That's all I need. Those three answers from Mac Jones. His favorite songs, his favorite album. Can we just hear the Mac Jones part again, B-Rub? Sorry to be a giant pain in the ass about this, but this is... Again, I'm a type. This is it's a me thing. If you listen to this, happens on Felger and Minutes. You got to read into the social media. You got to look for the hints, the hidden or subliminal messages. And there's also like a smirk with Mac Jones delivering what he likes about Taylor Swift, his songs, albums. Let's hear that again, please.
The Last Great American Dynasty, and then Karma, of course, Karma. Favorite album, Reputation, for what it stands for.
The only one
now. This is where you got to hope for the best for Mac Jones. Again, I'm not a Mac Jones guy, that is clear, but if you want to try to believe in Mac Jones still and say, like, he is going to have a comeback kind of a season after he got saddled with the Judge and Patricia last year, hung out to dry, I find it very telling that these are his answers when it comes to his favorites with Taylor Swift. The Last Great American Dynasty. It's a shot at Bill, that's the Patriots. The Last Great American Dynasty. In sports, it's the Patriots. Karma. Now, these are positives for Mac Jones. If you're looking for him to have a better 2023, a bounce back year. Karma, he's looking for revenge for last year. And reputation, big reputation. Ooh, you and me, I got a big reputation. He's trying to repair his own. Because that's when he's like kind of looking into the camera a little bit, too. Like, Reputation, that's his favorite album. Yeah, I'm sure it is. But he's also trying to rebuild his own. So Mac Jones, a little bit more motivated this year. You're going to get a better Mac Jones. At least you hope. I don't know what that'll amount to because I think his talent is meh at best. But, again, I like to read into the subliminal messages of social media with any of these pro athletes. That's what I do. Last Great American Dynasty, shot at you, Bill. That's the Pats. yeah, I'm here. I get their paycheck. But, you know, you did me dirty last year. Karma. Karma, Kramer. His revenge for last year. Big reputation. Favorite album, Repairing His Own. I think you can read into some of that stuff from Mac Jones. And I myself, as far as Taylor Swift is concerned, been asked this a few times, had it tweeted to me over the last 24 hours or so. How much, Jim? How much to go? How much to go? How much would you? Because I've said before, look, I can be a gigantic bitch about these kind of things. At this point in my 40s, it takes a lot for me to get off the couch and get me out of the house. I have to be really into something. And I actually respect Taylor Swift a lot, like her music. If given a sweet ticket like I was to Bruce Springsteen to the Garden about a month and a half ago, where I'm on the floor, got excellent seats, oh, I'd go in a heartbeat. I respect the talent. It's like, feels like a once-in-a-generation type of show that she's putting on right now. I'd go. But if you're telling me I had to, you know, sit where it's like up in the boonies, 300s. Like, let's use today's show, for example, right? Where it's going to be downpours and rain all day. Miserable. Although, apparently to some Swifties, it's nothing more magical than seeing Taylor in the rain. Whether it's at MetLife or Nashville or 12 years ago at Gillette, it's so magic. Okay, fine. But to me, that sounds like a nightmare. So, hypothetically speaking, Jim, how much to go to Taylor Swift? Gillette Stadium today, terrible seats, sit in the traffic, have to tailgate, in the rain, $1.5 million, cash in hand, maybe in like a Louis Vuitton briefcase of some kind. Like that's, I'm not kidding. That's, you'd do it for like $5,000. No. There is nothing more precious than time, especially money. What would you be doing instead? I don't know. Staring at a wall at home. Getting ignored by our jerk cats that my wife and I have. But that's what it would take. $1.5 million cash in hand. That's not taxed. That's what it would take. I can't imagine. And I like her music. I respect the talent. But I only want the good seats. I'm spoiled. Like I said, I'm a gigantic bitch about stuff like this. How much to go to this show? Ask me anytime. I will tell you the truth. It's always going to be a large number. Yeah, sitting in that pouring rain, and I got to stay till the end, and I have to deal with the traffic going home. A friend of mine, their kids didn't get home till 3:30 in the morning last night. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Yeah, $1.5 million cash in hand, or in a very fancy Louis Vuitton briefcase of some kind. That would have to be new, and so I could resell it on eBay and get more cash there. That's what it would take. Yeah, so good luck to those of you going out there today and tonight and enjoying that and the magic of the rain. But again, I think you can read into some of those answers regarding Taylor Swift from your quarterback, Mac Jones of the Patriots. You want to weigh in on that? Have at Celtics as well. 617-779-0985. Going to help out you, the degenerate gambler like myself. Got the Preakness coming up later this evening. Get some insight on that coming up next here on Gasper and Murray.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
This is Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
And this is Gasper and Murray on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sound of Mage winning the Kentucky Derby a few weeks back. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Later this evening, bettors like myself going to be turning their attention to Pimlico for the second leg of the Triple Crown, the Preakness. Joining me here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, give us some insight, wagering tips on the race, is Andy Serling. Andy Serling, TV analyst and handicapper for the New York Racing Association. Good afternoon, Andy. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me on, Jim. Appreciate it.
So I'll let you know, though, right off the top, Andy, I feel like you got a little bit of pressure on you. A few weeks back, we had another handicapper on the show, Anthony Stabile, ahead of the Kentucky Derby. He gave us Mage as his long shot. So hopefully we can have some of that same kind of luck with you doing this spot today.
Well, I'm not giving out any long shots, I hate to say it. But I do think Mage is going to be very tough to beat. It's a very different race than the Kentucky Derby in the sense that, you know, Mage is the only one coming back from the Derby. The horse who was going to be the second choice in his chief competition, First Mission, scratched out the other day. And I think Mage is a very good horse, and there's always that bit of a concern about a horse coming back just 2 weeks after the Derby, but I really think that's overblown in general. And if you look through the history of the Derby, especially even in recent years, Derby winners have come back and run well frequently in the Preakness in their next start. And I just don't see the chief competition towards Mage in this race, and I think he's going to prove very, very hard to beat.
Okay. But you did mention, though, the second favorite, the number 8 horse, First Mission, scratched yesterday. How much of a shakeup is this to the race overall?
It changes the race a lot, because not only does it take out absolutely the second likeliest winner, he's also a horse that had some early speed. And while I don't think the pace would have been that fast, and that is a factor to talk about with Mage, National Treasure, the horse for Bob Baffert, who probably will be the second choice, he has the speed inside. And while there's another horse, Coffee with Chris, a bit of a long shot with speed as well, if you add a potential third speed to it, it gives the potential for the pace to get a little bit hotter. And maybe that's a bit of an Achilles heel for Mage, because even though First Mission was competition, he might have added a little bit more pace to the race, and Mage is not really a speed horse. But I think there might be a false lead. I just think he's been farther back in his last couple races than normal because he's been in unusually fast-paced races. So I believe with a slower pace today, assuming he breaks okay, and he is a horse Mage that has some issues getting out of the gate, and that's one thing that his rider, Javier Castellanos, helped him out with a lot. But I think Achilles' heel for him will be getting left in the slower pace. But I expect to see him pretty close to the pace today, maybe 2-3 lengths off of it.
All right, speaking to Andy Serling, TV analyst, handicapper for the New York Racing Association, ahead of the Preakness later this evening. You mentioned Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert arrived to Pimlico yesterday, coming back from the suspension. What's been the feel around this, the buzz about this, and can he get his 8th Preakness with this horse?
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people that seem to love this horse. And listen, given the overall quality of this field, if Mage doesn't show up today, he has to be considered a major player. But he is nowhere near as good as many of the horses that Bob Baffert has come to this race before. And yesterday, Baffert ran a filly in the Black Eyed Susan, which is sort of the Pimlico equivalency of the Kentucky Oaks, the filly race the day before the Preakness. And she was coming off a big win and was massively overbet to 1-2 and finished a distant third and really didn't run well at all. So I don't think I'm expecting Bob to have some kind of magic. He's very, very good. He's a very, very great trainer. And his 3-year-olds usually show up. But National Treasure has been a disappointment. And I thought in his last race, there's a comment in the chart that says he lacked room. He didn't lack room. He just wasn't fast enough to keep, you know, hold his position. I just don't think he's that good. But if Mates doesn't show up, he's probably the second likeliest winner.
So since you've been on again, you've mentioned National Treasure. You've seemed bullish on Mage. You mentioned Coffee with Chris. Go ahead.
No, I was saying I'm bullish on Mage here. I think if he wins here, the Belmont Stakes is going to be a very, very tough race for him.
Okay, but I have yet to hear you mention Red Route 1, who I feel like seems to be popular among some of the dark horse picks. If you look, it's just some of the scuttlebutt online. Do you agree?
I should start by saying that this has been one of my worst weeks of handicapping in my entire life so far. So maybe even more than usual, people should just throw everything out, I think, and do the opposite. But I really wish I could book a lot of money on Red Route 1. On the other hand, he's not that short a price. The problem with Red Route 1, as I see it, is twofold. He's a horse that's incredibly pace challenged. He has absolutely no early speed. He comes from the clouds. So in a race where not only is there a lack of pace, but his chief competition has much more speed than him, he's already at a big disadvantage. And second of all, he's really not that good. So I don't think he's good enough to win this race unless it was under extremely ideal circumstances, and he's probably going to get the opposite of ideal circumstances. So, no, I'm no fan of Red Route 1. I think the horse a lot of people will be looking at is Blazing Sevens, who goes out for trainer Chad Brown, who won the race last year with early voting. And Chad Brown has won this race twice with horses that had points to run in the Derby, Cloud Computing, and early voting, that skipped the Derby to point the Preakness, and that's the case with Blazing Sevens. The difference between Blazing Sevens and those two horses is both those two horses, in my opinion, had things to like about them coming out of their prior races. I didn't like Blazing Sevens' last race in the Bluegrass, and I don't think he's a horse that gets better with added distance. I think he'd get better with less distance. Chad Brown likes him a lot. I don't like him at all. But in this field, I don't want to go too overboard, because if Mage doesn't show up, there's only six left, and I guess Blazing Sevens is one of the ones that can win.
Well, I appreciate you being so honest about you having a bad week. Most guys, I feel like, and most handicaps are like, it's all going good.
I don't mind. This week has been particularly terrible. I've been going well, but, you know, one of the great things about horse racing, well, it's kind of like the Celtics, right? They looked great a few days ago,
yeah.
And now they don't look so great. Things can change really quickly. You always can stay humble in any of these pursuits.
So, Andy, for those that, and I caught up with this, some of the tweets to me, the last time we had someone on ahead of the Kentucky Derby, again, that was Anthony Stabile. For those that maybe tuned in, listening to this segment, I feel like many are like, well, just tell me what horse is going to win so I can put my money on it. So what horse is going to win so I can put my money on it, Andy?
Mage.
Okay. Do you have any other?
And, I honestly think that Mage should be odds on in here. I think he should be 3-5, and I think he's going to be closer to even money or 6-5. So even though it's a short price, he might actually be what you would consider value.
And any other plays you would like to hit on? Do you have any promos or anything, promo codes or anything?
Well,
you would like to...
One thing is we have the greatest fans in Boston and New England. In Saratoga, there's more people from your area than probably the New York area that come up there on the weekends. So I'm a big fan of this, your area in general, and I hope a lot of people are playing through Naira Bets, which is NairaBets.com. It's our betting site, and it sort of keeps the money in the game, and that's a great place to play, and there's a promotion if you join Naira Bets. But I hope that the players are playing through Naira Bets.
All right, Naira.
And keeping me employed.
Naira.com, where you go. Naira Bets. You can find Andy on Twitter at Andy Serling.
That's it.
All right, Andy, thanks for joining us. It's Mage is the play today.
Mage is the play. Mage. And then it's on to Belmont, the Belmont Stakes.
All right, Andy Serling again joining us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Andy, enjoy the race later today. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thank you. Thanks for having the time for me. Thanks.
All right, so that's Andy Serling, again, TV analyst, handicapper for the New York Racing Association. Look, it's me. I'm here by myself, pretty much by myself today. Got B Rob along, but I've been ever since we've been able to bet with the apps or go to Naira.com. My grandfather, I mentioned this story last couple of weeks ago, ahead of the Kentucky Derby. Once he was retired, took a part-time job at Suffolk Downs just so we could be close to the action. I'm doing it to get out of the house. No, that turned out not to be the case. He just was like Fred Flintstone, bat, needed to be around the ponies. And it's still, if you've ever been, it's a juxtaposition, it's a contradiction, it's all of these things for me, because I prefer animals to people. And I understand the cruelty of the sport, and sometimes they're just putting these horses down ahead of the race. What, five had to go down, I think, before the Kentucky Derby? But there's something about it. Yeah, you're around the action, you get to see a couple of races live, there's something about it. Love the animals, but otherwise, on the other hand, I do love the horse racing. So that's why I wanted to have Andy on, help you out. He likes Mage, the winner of the Derby today at Pimlico. And so good luck betting there. I will be in on Mage and maybe a little bit of a long shot as well in this race. So good luck to you. 617-779-0985. Let's get more of your Celtics calls lined up as the Celtics blow it again at home last night, Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Final to the Miami Heat. Grant Williams getting a lot of the heat, no pun intended, today from Celtics fans. He's the reason they lost. He's part of it. It's not all of it. The biggest thing I found offensive about Grant Williams last night, it's not that he tried to poke the bear of Jimmy Butler. It's that his teammates didn't back him up after the game. That's just straight up gross. We'll touch on Jaylen Brown and how he just threw Williams right under the bus after that game. We'll play that sound for you, and more of your Celtics calls coming up next at 617-779-0985 here on Gasper and Murray.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150. Win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Chris Gasper. Big Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The last great American.
Did Grant Williams make a mistake poking the bear with Jimmy Butler?
Next question.
Tells me all I need to know about the Celtics and their mentality and why I don't like them the rest of this series.
I know. Never say never. It's not over. I hope you're right.
Jaylen Brown, though? I mean, that no one supported him? Said next question when asked about Grant Williams after the game. I just think that that's brutal. Again, Grant Williams is a bit of an ass clown, but he was the only guy in the Celtics last night who was willing to do anything. It's Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And this was my main complaint from last night. They lose to the Heat, now down 0-2. 111-105 last night was your final. I can't shake it. It's not the actions of Grant Williams melting off to Jimmy Butler. You poked the bear. You woke him up. You awoke a sleeping giant. It's Jimmy Butler. He's that dude. It's a turning point. It is. At least someone tried to stand up to him. It's not the action of it. It's that nobody got his back afterwards. Next question. Even if you don't believe in it and what he did, you still got to... It's just, it's you looking like a bad teammate. It's them coming off as selfish individuals. They look like losers, children. Hanging Grant Williams out to dry, and for what? Because you still want to be boys with Jimmy Butler in the offseason and train with him like you do, Jaylen? Like, you just got to say something like, look, someone had to try to get in his face. Someone tried to stop him. Didn't work, but, you know, credit to Grant. He gave it a go. Something like that. Something along those lines. Next question. Mope. Moo. So, why, despite all their talent, it's crazy to me that they're even favored tomorrow in Game 3, where Miami hasn't lost a postseason game, unlike the Celtics, who are now sub-500 at home in the postseason. The talent, they're young. I don't want to hear any of that crap anymore. A championship team, if they're going to pull it off, you need to have, you've watched what championship teams are in this town over the 20 years of success in the championships, all the teams, Bruins in 11, Celtics 08, the many from the Patriots. You have to have a certain amount of mental toughness, maturity, leadership, as it pertains to the Celtics, basketball IQ. Collectively, this team, they don't have those traits. And the selfishness, too, that, again, you got to back your guy. Grant Williams at least tried. Again, he's a goofball. Shouldn't have been him. Right message, wrong guy. What are you doing after this game? I just think that to me, it's like, wow. And it's so telling about their collective mentality or their individual mentality. But your thoughts on last night's collapse, yet again at home, now down 0-2 to the Heat. 617-779-0985. Marcel in Taunton, you're next. Hi, Marcel.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Hello, Marcel.
Yeah, speaking.
Go ahead.
Hey, Big Jim. Yeah.
I've been listening to you for a while, and you all are doing an awesome job.
Hey, thanks.
Yes. Yeah, I've been listening, and you all have been doing a great job, Jim. Outstanding. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you. Thank you for the accolades. You have something on last night's game, Marcel.
Yeah. Okay, so now I believe it's the Jays. They are playing under the standard. Also, the coach, you really can't blame the coach. I understand he's a rookie, but those guys got to get some golden goose eggs.
Yeah, Joe Marcel, and thanks, Marcel. Your connection wasn't too great there, so I'm going to let you go. Look, it's with all those things I just said about them in terms of their inherent gutlessness, when you add the coach in Missoula, and I think he's low-hanging fruit for a lot of Celtics fans, and he's going to get a lot of the blame, too, if they end up bowing out of this thing, which I think they're going to. He's stubborn. He's inexperienced. He's, again, the stubbornness, too. Like, after the game, talking about, well, why is Al Horford in there? What was the quote, B-Rub? Like, well, Al always finishes the game.
Yeah, he always finishes games, yep.
I mean, what is that? Like, no, you got to be able to adapt. And Al is showing his age. And he's one of the guys I actually do like on this team. But he's showing his age at times. And Robert Williams should be out there over Al Horford. Derek White, I thought, was doing a bang-up job one-on-one on Jimmy Butler in that first half last night. But nope, his ass is on the bench because this is how we do it at the end of the games. Al always finishes the games. So he's inexperienced. He's stubborn. He's petulant. He's part of the problem. And when you add that to the mix of a team that might not have the heart that you're looking for and doesn't have that intangible or those intangibles that you need for a championship team, the situation gets 10 times worse, and it's why they're down 0-2. More on Missoula from Todd in the truck. Hello, Todd.
Yes.
Hi. Yes, Todd, go ahead.
Jim.
Yes.
Yep. I just wanted to talk about, now having hindsight, what was the logic of Danny hiring Missoula? If he was truly going to be an interim, why don't you have a guy like Stoudemire? Why don't you bring back a Jay Larinaga? Like, looking back now, we got exactly what we would have gotten with a 33-year-old with 2 years of D2 experience. What do you think? Did they think the season was going to implode and here's a fall guy and then they started playing well? Like, we got exactly what I would expect to get out of him, and what could Wick and Danny have been thinking? That's all. I'll hang up and listen.
Todd, I think you mean Brad Stevens, because Danny's been gone. Is in Utah, and this was a Brad Stevens hire, Joe Missoula. I don't know. You know, I think it's more of I think it's obvious that part of it had to do with more of an emphasis on offense, which Joe Missoula, even when he's questioned about defense, the first thing he brings up is like, well, you know, we could have shot better. He's an offensive-minded coach first, and you know, given that the team collectively is so focused on the three, and that's what they're about, I think that was maybe the main reason that he got put into that position. I do wonder if they question at this point whether or not they should have taken off that interim tag when they did. And I know that they were heading into the All-Star weekend, and it was appropriate, at least on the surface at the time, from an aesthetic standpoint, to take the interim tag off. It felt premature at the time when people, I think rightfully, still had questions about Joe Missoula. Now? Yeah, now you look at that and be like, what the hell were you thinking? Do you think that at all, just in terms of those Celtics brass, starting with Brad Stevens, B-Rob, that they might be second-guessing that right now?
You have to if you lose the series. I mean, this is as good as a spot as you could hope for this team right now, going up against an 8 seed in Miami, who's playing a lot better than an 8 seed, but still, talent-wise, there's no question who's going to win this, who should win this series on paper, and why, you know, in Vegas, the Celtics are still somehow favored pretty much to win game three and come back in this series, or at a complete coin flip on that standpoint. So I get it for why they did it in the moment at the All-Star break to take some pressure off him, maybe you empower him a little bit, but yeah, there's going to be some tough questions to be asked if they don't go down fighting here.
Yeah, and just on the Grant Williams thing, too, because this is going to be, especially if they end up losing tomorrow, Grant Williams is going to be, like, in the crosshairs of so many people. And, like, fine, feel how you want. And so the poke the bear, you woke him up. Let me ask you this. If you feel that way, and B-Rob, pretend you're one of these Celtics fans. Like, I'm mad at Grant Williams today. Grant Williams is the reason we lost. Let me ask you this. B-Rob, bad Celtics fan. Has Jimmy Butler looked, unmotivated to you at any point during this postseason? well, how'd he play against the Knicks? He hurt his ankle. He wasn't the same in that series after that. But I don't know. How was he in game one? Was he lethargic, down, unmotivated? I mean, how about this? I'll just look at the stat sheet. Grant Williams didn't play in game one. Probably should have. Grant Williams didn't play in game one, and Jimmy Butler had, let me look here, 8 more points than he had last night. So did he really poke the bear? You know, and I'm not trying to get under your skin. I'm saying, like, there's a lot of blame to go around. The reason they lost this game was not simply, in a vacuum, Grant Williams for getting in the face of Jimmy Butler and poking the bear.
Grant Williams was a net positive for that game. Like, I'm with you. Look what Jimmy Butler did against the Bucks 2 rounds ago. This is, he pretty much did this in 5 straight games, and that's how they got through here. So, of course, like, he had no plans to be passive in the last 5 or 6 minutes of this game. It didn't look good for Grant Williams in terms of how it played out, but as far as what actually determined that game, that tussle was probably the last thing on the list in my mind.
Mike and Wilburn, you're next here on Gasperless Gasper Amari today. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Jim. How are you? Only thing I think worse than having to sit in traffic for the Swift concert would be having to wait for the commuter rail for the Swift concert in the rain. Oh, my God. Good Lord. forget $1.5 million, Jim. We're talking $3 million easy. Can the Draymond Green to the Celtics talk, did that just happen?
It's gone on here a little bit the last couple of days. I don't see how it would work, just in terms of...
Like, doesn't Draymond at this point, Draymond as a basketball player, doesn't he espouse everything that we talk about when we talk about bad Marcus Smart?
Yeah, in a lot
attitude,
of ways, yeah.
Attitude, fake hustle, stupid, like, you know, hero ball, all that stuff. And then we want him as he begins his decline. I can think of nothing that could end worse for this team than Draymond at the down end of his career here with Marcus Smart performing a bad attitude nitro and glycerin act on what could be a dynastic core. All set on that. No, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. That's why it was brought up yesterday. Like, oh, they'd have to shake up the core if they ended up bowing out early. And maybe Smart gone and bring in Draymond. Like, yeah, my gut is like, I don't know. Yeah, they could use a little bit more toughness, but it is. I think it's a lot of, like, bad Marcus Smart at his worst bringing in here. I'm out. No. Now I've made my decision. I am a no on that potential change. But we'll cross that bridge when we need to. Hopefully it's not sooner than later. It doesn't look good right now for the Celtics. And it just can't be if they're going to blow out the coach. So, like, no, he's the reason. You got to change up the core, too, if they're going to end up losing this and not end up getting past the Heat. Again, down 0-2 in this series. Going out, meekly finishing these games at home. Jason Tatum with the turnovers, bouncing the ball off his foot like he's never even played basketball before. Like, that's all mental. That's him having freaking out. Lewis in Smithfield next here on Gasper Murray. Hello, Lewis.
Hey, Jim, what's going on? Just had a quick take about the Celtics. I think it's pretty glaring in this series that that they're a bunch of individuals playing basketball rather than a team, and it's pretty clear when you compare them to Miami, where there's a certain hierarchy that's in place, which is Jimmy Butler is the leader, and they all fall in place under that. Whereas the Celtics, you have individuals who are all trying to claw their way for a piece of their pie, whether it's Marcus Smart thinking that he's the man, or Jaylen Brown thinking he's the man, or Tatum, we all think he is the man, but isn't as consistent as the man should be, quote unquote. And I think that's the biggest difference in this series.
Yeah, it's a how they're wired type of thing. And Butler, again, for his not limited talent, that's not the right term, but, like, again, I just think in terms of talent, like, it's fair to say he's kind of like a number two on a team. That's why he's been on multiple teams throughout his career, but the attitude and heart, like, that's everything that I want to root for and watch as a sports fan. And in the Celtics, I don't see much of it. And I said it earlier, like, them, as this thing goes on, this core over the last, whatever, 5-6 years, I just, they're a deeply unserious team. They're weak-willed, they're soft, they're childish. And I look at, like, 3 guys I really enjoy watching on this team. Derek White, basically a new addition last year. Al Horford, who's getting close to washed. And Rob Williams. The rest of them, especially with something like last night and how they're talking about, you know, not supporting Grant Williams after that game. And again, right message, wrong guy. I get it. But I find them increasingly unlikable. And that's tough right now. It doesn't make it any easier to watch how they're losing these games. Let's go to Shawnee in the car on Al Horford, who I just mentioned, next here on Gaspar Murray. Hi, Shawnee. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, Shawnee.
Hey, so you guys were just talking about how, like, Al Horford was in the game at the end because that's what he does, and Derek White was on the bench even though he should have been in the game because he was playing better. And I just wonder, like, what prevents these guys from being like, hey, coach, I'm not doing well, but D is, so put D in and just sit me. Like, why? Is it ego or is it their inability to play as a team? Like, yes, Joe Mazzulla's not doing great, but he's new to this and they're not. So isn't it on them to be like, listen, I'm not shooting well, but this guy is, so sit me and play him.
You know, it's a good point, Shawnee. You know, so you had the players essentially holding a coup in the midst of that Sixers series when there was some doubts after they lose Game 5. And then it felt like Marcus Smart and others said, you go stand over there, Joe. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the double big lineup, like Ime used to do. And then they ended up winning Games 6 and 7, and they win that series. Is it time again for another coup, B-Rub? Someone's going to speak up because Al Horford, along with Jaylen Brown last night, combined minus 39, four-point loss. Like, not contributing. Brown scrambled. I don't know what it is. He hasn't had a good series. I really don't think he's been all that great since the Atlanta series, and Al Horford is showing his age. So is it time for Marcus Smart again? Maybe Jason Tatum. Someone else on the team to say, Joe, you go stand over there. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do things.
I don't see it happening with Al Horford. Like, that's your veteran guy. You're not going to, those guys aren't going to say bench him. This has to be a Joe Mazzulla call at this point. They got the lamp they want.
Well, he's been around long enough, and I'm sure those knees of his have been killing him. Shouldn't he maybe be a leader and say, you know what, for the greater good, I'll sit my ass down and put Rob in crunch time? Or is he just too proud?
I would hope so. I think these guys have the self-belief that they're going to be able to make that next shot, even if they're 1 of 10 in these games, but I do think big picture, maybe he watches the film and say, listen, like, Rob is the better guy for Bam in this series. Like, maybe you should be playing Rob. No, I don't know. It's a good question.
All right. Well, B-Rob's got a jet because he is going to jet down to Miami where he'll be staying at a fancy place. Good for you. Got the NBA rate on that. Gets to enjoy the sunshine, the fun, and sun of Miami and hopefully come back with a series tied. I don't feel great about that, but be sure to be reading his Celtics coverage at Mass Live. Bid adieu to B-Rob. Good luck with your travels. Safe travels, B-Rob. Ryan Beaton going to take over for the final 10 minutes. Now, we're not going to have five questions for Chris Gasper. They've got nothing to do with sports coming up next because Chris isn't here. So we'll continue to weave in some of your Celtics calls. I know you got many thoughts on last night's game. Look, you want to bitch about Grant Williams? I'll take those calls. I just don't think that he deserves all the blame. You poke the bear. Jimmy Williams. That guy was half asleep at the wheel most of the time. Jimmy Butler didn't need poking. The bear's always awake there. So I don't think that that's the main reason they lost last night. But we'll take your calls at 617-779-0985. And also wrap with my favorite story of the week. We'll get to that next on Gasper Murray.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
Returns in a moment on the sports.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
This
This is 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
And this is Gasper and Murray.
All right, before I wrap things up here on Gasper is Gasper and Murray today. Finish with my favorite story of the week. And that is this. Orcas, killer whales. They've sunk three boats in Europe and appear to be teaching others to do the same. But why? Reading here from livescience.com. I love this story. Orcas have attacked and sunk a third boat off the Iberian coast of Europe, and experts now believe the behavior is being copied by the rest of the population. Ah, the orcas, the killer whales, they're learning. They struck a yacht on the night of May 4th in the Strait of Gibraltar off the coast of Spain and pierced the rudder. The skipper, Werner Schaffberger, told the German publication Yacht, "There were two smaller and one larger orca. The little one shook the rudder at the back, while the big one repeatedly backed up and rammed the ship with full force from the side." The skipper said he saw the smaller orcas imitate the larger one. The two little orcas observed the bigger one's technique, and with a slight run-up, they too slammed into the boat. Spanish coast guards rescued the crew and towed the boat back in, but it sank at the port entrance. That's just funny for effect. And I go on from this article. It says here, there's been a spike in aggression toward boats, and it's a recent phenomenon from the orcas. Researchers believe that a traumatic event may have triggered a change in the behavior of one orca, which the rest of the population has learned to imitate. Ah, they are learning. The scientist said, quote, "The orcas are doing this on purpose, of course. We don't know the origin or the motivation, but defensive behavior based on trauma, as the origin of all of this, gains more strength for us every day." Ah, yes, there are the killer whales. We hear them in the background. They're getting pissed. Experts suspect that a female orca they call White Gladys suffered a critical moment of agony, a collision with a boat, or entrapment during illegal fishing that flipped a behavioral switch that traumatized the orca, and that one started the behavior of physical contact with the boat. And on it goes. Now, I say this is my favorite story of the week because I love any story of animal revenge. And here's the thing, and the main reason I bring it up. We're living in the stupidest time in human history, in my opinion. Every day, every news story, more difficult for normal people like myself to comprehend. We're an increasingly stupid people in a crumbling once great empire. So if we're going to continue down this slip and slide to hell, I at least want to try to get some sick enjoyment out of it. And that is why, and this is why I bring up this story, because we have TV producers around here. I beg big television producers, whether it's from the networks, streaming services like Netflix, Amazon, whatever, YouTube. Can you make a show, a real show about animal revenge? People like myself will tune in droves to watch the orcas attack the fishing vessels. The wronged orcas getting revenge on the people? Oh, you're going to get millions of people tuning into that. Because people have had it. And people suck. And if you're like me, most normal, like the animals, people always side with the animals. The good people side with the animals. So you mean to tell me if there was a show on Netflix, again, Animal Revenge, and it's, we've taken six hunters, you know, big game hunters, the worst kind of hunters. Look at my trophy hunting, the trophy hunters. And we've given them 30-odd sixes. And we've put them out in the bush where a bunch of tigers are. But what they don't know is that those 30-odd sixes will all malfunction when they think they're going to kill the tigers. And these tigers are hungry. And we get to watch the tigers maul the big game hunters? Now that is going to be a ratings bonanza. For years, now more than ever, I want to watch Animal Revenge. Jim, that's sick. The people got it coming. We all got it coming. Oh, so I read this. It made my week. The orcas. Good. Get all those boats. Sink them all, orcas. I am on your side. Hashtag Team Orca. And so concludes this Gasperless Gasper Murray for the day. I think if Chris was here, you wouldn't get that self-indulgent moment. You would have had the five questions for Chris, but he had stuff going on. So instead, you get that. Coming up, Tim McCone, who I'd imagine is quite pissed about the Celtics being down 0-2 to the Miami Heat.
Not a great night. Not a great night, no.
McCone, like 2 or 3 months ago, we were talking about what would be the worst possible scenario between the Bruins or Celtics bowing out in the postseason. Well, one's already gone, and these a-holes are halfway to losing this season.
I was just saying, we're going to be done by like May 25th. Yeah. This is unbelievable.
Get ready to talk about the Red Sox. Tim McCone's coming up next. You want to continue to bitch about the C's? Get on with him at 617-779-0985. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow night at Blink 182. If not, talk to you Monday on Felger and Mass. Bye.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.